Make It Ugly. Written by Lady Janelli. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Hockey RPF. Relationship, Jamie Benn, Sidney Crosby. Rating, explicit. Also tagged for Alternate Universe, BDSM. CBT, Bondage, Risk-Aware Consensual Kink, Breath Play, and Impact Play. Recorded for Kinktober 2025.
Just like a razor, mirth up in this world, my place. I got all the boys on me, I got all the lines on ring. Knock them dead, turning heads, I got all the eyes on me. Baby face, card up to the wire, you ain't gonna do that. Wanna see, my mo tajana, ega tajana. You make bold, I'll leave you the gold.
Keith, Weber, Subban, Sharp, Kunitz, Bergeron. Sid goes through his checklist on his phone as he walks the hall where the hockey players' assigned rooms are. A lot of the guys he knows from last time. He wasn't captain then, and it wasn't his job to make sure everyone was taken care of. But he paid attention, and he knows the personal preferences of most of the men on his team. Who needs a good spanking? Who wants to kneel quietly for a few minutes before each game? Which one of them needs to be wrestled down and hogtied? Ben. Ben is a blank slate. Sid knows he's a sub. The personal files gave him that much to go on. But he's never played on a team with Ben. Never an All-Star weekend. Never an international competition before this. Ben's always been the guy on the other side, and Sid needs to know what he needs. Needs to figure out which of the DOMs is best to give it to him. He needs every member of his team at his best, and this is part of it. He taps on Ben's door. He knows everybody has arrived in Sochi already, but Ben could be downstairs, could be at one of the restaurants, could be visiting old friends. Ben is in his room and opens the door seconds after Sid knocks, his expression curious but not wary. "Can I come in?" Sid asks, because this is not a conversation for the hall. "Sure." Ben moves back and leads the way all six steps into the room. He takes a seat on the edge of the bed, leaves one of the hard wooden chairs for Sid. Sid fidgets with his phone one last time and then gets to the point. "I'm trying to match up subs and DOMs," he says. Ben gives him a sympathetic eye roll. There's never an even split. Hockey players are a needy bunch. Always more subs looking for a firm hand and a kind word than there are DOMs to dole them out. Ben understands the intricacies of matching personalities and tastes, needs and limits. "So what are you looking for?" Sid asks him. Ben glances down at his hands. "I don't..." He starts, shrugs, lets the words fade out. Like whatever it is, he doesn't expect to get it. Not here. Which makes it even more important that Sid knows, so he can be sure Ben gets what he needs. He waits, and Ben worries at his thumbnail. "Jordy usually..." And then Brendan finishes. Sid takes a deep, slow breath, and then another. When Ben doesn't speak again, he calls softly, "Jamie?" Ben looks up at him, eyes dark and wide and wary. Sid points to the floor by his own feet, and Ben, Jamie, slides to his knees there, hands clenched at his sides, bowed in body but not heart. "Look at me," Sid says, deceptively soft, and Jamie does. "What do you need?" The question is an order. Jamie's pink tongue flicks out to moisten his lips. Sid thinks it's Jamie collecting his thoughts and not stalling, so he waits. "I need to know I can take it. Whatever comes out there on the ice. I need to know how tough I am. I need my Dom to know how tough I am. I need to be wrecked from the ground and put back together when it's over. I play better when I can feel it still. How much I can take." He hesitates and Sid waits. "I don't need it to be pretty. I want it ugly." Sid nods, even as he's trying to pair Jamie up in his head, going through the list of available Doms and discarding them just as fast. This is a job for someone who knows Jamie, someone who Jamie trusts, and there's nobody like that here. Nobody that's been there for Jamie before. Too much, and Jamie could easily end up injured. Too little, and the confidence that got him on the team could evaporate and leave him next to useless. Jamie looks down, the line of his neck tense, unhappy. He hesitates, then lowers his cheek to rest on Sid's thigh. Sid tangles his fingers in Jamie's hair and holds him there. Call him a control freak, but there's only one Dom on the team he trusts with this. "I want you to take a nap," Sid says, the tone of command still in his voice. "And then a shower, and then come to my room at 8. Jamie looks up, a flicker of doubt passing behind his eyes. Sid knows he's got a reputation as a very measured Dom, restrained and precise, skilled with the T's. He knows it can't be easy for Jamie to trust someone who's never touched him before, both of them so aware of just how thin the line is between what Jamie needs and too little or too much. "Now," Sid says, releasing his hair. Jamie's cheek presses harder against his leg for a brief second before he stands and goes to his bed, stripping off his shirt and sweats and crawling between the sheets in just his underwear. Sid makes a few notes in his phone, gives Jamie a moment to settle. Then he stands up, goes and touches Jamie's shoulder, makes sure he's not dropping, before Sid heads for the door. He's got some setup to do and 2 hours to do it. Sid's just putting the finishing touches on the makeshift scene when Jamie knocks on the door. Most of what he brought with is too delicate for Jamie's needs, so some improvisation was required. He has confidence in his skills and instincts as a Dom, but working under these conditions, well, he's going to have to make it work with what he has. "Come in," he calls, and Jamie does. "Lock the door." The bolt slides shut with a click, and Jamie stands at parade rest in front of the door. "Strip," Sid orders, and Jamie strips, smooth and efficient. Sid takes in the lines of him, the deceptively soft-looking torso, thick thighs, slim calves, his uncircumcised dick starting to stir to life between his legs. Sid nods towards the chair that sat, isolated, in the middle of the room. It's the kind of thing you find in crappy waiting rooms. Armless wood frame, pleather seat and backrest. Jamie licks his lips and walks over. Sits and then shifts around a little, getting used to the vinyl on his bare ass. He goes pliant as Sid ties him down with heavy Canadian red rope. Lets Sid move his arms so he can knot him tight at the elbow and wrists. Strong flesh tied to stronger wood. Sid moves to his front, ties his knees on the outside corner of the seat, his ankles to the back legs of the chair, legs spread, his big body exposed and vulnerable. "Pull," Sid says, and Jamie's muscles flex and veins bulge as he strains against the ropes, against the chair. He looks hopeful, Sid thinks. It's a good start. "Do you have a safe word?" Jamie shrugs. "Green, yellow, red, stop. I don't say things I don't mean." "Hard limits?" Sid asks, And Jamie considers the question seriously. Hurt, not injured, Jamie says, like he said it before. No permanent marks. That leaves a frightening range of activities, Sid thinks. But he's up to the challenge. He steps in and gets a grip on Jamie's hair, still damp from the shower and tacky from his hair gel. Pulls Jamie's head back and traces his thumb over Jamie's lips. Face? Green. Balls? Dick? Green, Jamie repeats. Sid, it's all green. I'll let you know if you go over. It feels dangerous for a first time, but Sid will take Jamie at his word and watch carefully anyway. For the various ways Jamie could signal a green going yellow on them. Okay, then, Sid says. Lets his fingers trail over Jamie's cheek. Lets that tension, frustration build. Slides away and goes to the painfully small cache of suitable gear he's got. The skate lace is light and thin in his hand, and Jamie watches, unimpressed, as Sid slips it through his fingers. Jamie looks a little less blasé when Sid kneels between his bound knees and scoops up his balls, handling them dispassionately for a while, fragile in his hands, before he loops the lace around the base of them. Jamie's belly jerks as Sid winds the string around his scrotum, finding that right balance between constriction and safety. He finishes it off with a good, non-sliding knot, draws the string taut, and then pulls until Jamie tenses, pulls slow and steady until Jamie's face twists in pain, his hips coming as far forward as the bonds will allow. He lets the line go slack and turns his back on Jamie and goes to where Jamie left his clothes, picks up his boots and brings them over, ties them to the dangling ends of the lace, high enough that they don't rest on the floor. Slowly lowers his hand until they swing free. He taps the boots with his hand, sending them swinging, taking note of Jamie's pained grunt. "Are you sure?" Sid asks one last time. Stands close so Jamie has to look up at him, pulls his head back by his hair when he won't. "Just fucking..." Jamie starts, and Sid slaps him across the cheek. Watches Jamie's eyes go wide and startled, but his expression slides into disappointment. Sid figures that's fair. It was a hesitant hit, more noise than force, testing the waters. He follows up with a backhand, knuckles crashing into Jamie's mouth, knocking his head to the side. And there, the first hint of relief, of trust. Jamie realizing that Sid is capable of giving him what he needs. Sid taps the dangling footwear and slaps Jamie's face again, color rising in the dark blooms where Sid's hand fell. "Pretty," Sid thinks, and lands another between peck and collarbone, another over Jamie's nipple. Jamie sways forward as much as his bonds allow, whether he's trying to ease the tug on his balls or lean into Sid's strikes. Sid isn't sure. He jams his thumb into the soft flesh under Jamie's jaw, pushes his head back up. He can see Jamie starting to sink down, to give himself up to the pain. There's a fleck of blood on his lower lip, the skin there flushed and starting to swell. Sid's never really been into the rougher side of it like this, but he's starting to see the appeal. The freedom of being with someone who can not only take rough handling, but needs it. He rubs at the marks he's left, toys with Jamie's nipple, but it doesn't seem to be an erogenous zone. The side of the pec muscle, though, that makes Jamie twitch, and Sid grabs a good handful and squeezes, broader, more bruising than a pinch. Grabs the other side, too, tugs and shakes him, moves his hand down and finds Jamie's waist just padded enough to grab onto, squeezes there and then slaps his side, presses in with his short nails and rakes, leaving pink tracks down Jamie's stomach and hips and thighs. Jamie's dick is hard, the head poking out of the foreskin, the slit moist and glistening. Sid gathers the pre-cum on his thumb and brings it to Jamie's lips, watches him suck it off like Sid gave him a gift. Sid gives the ball weight a stronger kick to occupy Jamie while he goes to get the next toy. He thought maybe a belt, but it wouldn't give the next day sore Sid was looking for without breaking skin. He's got a yard of rope instead, folded in half and feeling heavy in his hand. He runs a gentle hand over Jamie's chest, over the raising swells from his pinches and slaps, letting him see the rope, letting him know what's coming. "I want your muscles tight when this hits you," Sid warns. A slight tremor passes through Jamie's body, and then he nods. Sid steps back and swings. From the test he ran on his own thigh, he knows it's like a slap and a punch at the same time, sharp but heavy. Jamie grunts at the hit, shudders in a breath after it lands. The mark is immediate and bright, darker than the smacks had left, an elongated C shape across Jamie's torso. "Again," Sid says, and watches the jump of Jamie's abs before he swings again. The thump of the rope deceptively quiet in the room. Jamie grunts at the hit, jaw clenched tight, keeping his voice in. They go again and again, welts rising on pale skin, chest and arms and thighs, sweat running down Jamie's temples, his breath going ragged. His dick is almost as dark as his balls now, red and straining. Sid swings the boot again and grabs the second lace, folds it into a quick slip loop at the top. He grabs hold of Jamie's dick, squeezes and pulls and makes him squirm, makes him moan, pulls the foreskin back and slips the lace around the base of the head, takes up the slack. He runs the string over Jamie's right shoulder and ties it off to the chair legs, and he's truly trapped now, not able to shift forward or back without tension. Sid steps in, runs his fingers over the marks he's left so far. Jamie is breathing hard, shivering and twitching, his body waiting for the pain that isn't coming, trying to process the steady hurt of the skate laces and the bruises that are already forming. Jesus, this would be the end for just about everybody Sid's ever seen with, and far past it for the rest. "This what you were looking for?" he asks, low and quiet, leaves Jamie that out, that chance to say, "Thanks for the ride," and call it done. Jamie shudders, draws back closer to the surface, his eyes dim and unfocused. "Don't, please... please." And just for a second, Sid's stomach sinks, dread that he's gone too far, missed a signal. Jamie didn't call Red, but it was Sid's job to watch, to know. "Please don't stop." Jamie gets out. He licks his lips, his tongue flicking pink against the darker flush. Sid squares his shoulders and raises his hand, puts his fingertips on Jamie's lower lip and presses in. Jamie raises his eyes then, liquid brown and trusting, open. He doesn't fight as Sid adds the two other fingers, spreading his mouth wide, the middle finger pressing back at the base of his tongue. Sid puts his thumb under the soft underneath of Jamie's jaw and squeezes until Jamie makes a muffled squeal, eyes watering against the pain. Hurt, but he doesn't bite down. Doesn't make an effort to get Sid's fingers out of his mouth. Sid pulls Jamie's head up and stretches his neck, watches Jamie wriggle helplessly at the pain of his crotch. He uses his other hand, jams it up into Jamie's armpit, pushes against the nerve clusters there, makes him struggle against a steady pain he can't stop, lets him scream against Sid's fingers. Jamie's face is wet when Sid pulls his fingers out, spit on his chin, tears and sweat on his cheeks. Sid sinks to his knees between Jamie's legs, adds more fingernail scratches to his upper thighs, up high where they'll be covered by boxer briefs before the media gets into the locker room. But Jamie will know what he took. The guys will know. Jamie's skin is salty slick under Sid's mouth, and he sucks a deep purple hickey on the inside of his thigh, his left hand plucking at the skate lace around Jamie's dick, twanging it and sending Jamie shuddering with every flick. "You're gonna come for me like this," Sid says, and Jamie whimpers, closes his eyes, nods. It's unbelievable what Jamie wants, needs. Sid suddenly aches to see how far it would go, to have a weekend, a week, no games on the horizon, to see what Jamie feels like with Sid's fist inside of him, to buy a pack of 100 pins and find out how many Jamie would let Sid push through his skin, to hear the sounds Jamie would make, struggling between pain and the desperate need to breathe. He wants to know where Jamie would call yellow, where the limits are on a sub like this. Sid slaps Jamie's dick, and Jamie screams behind his teeth, jerking and cringing. Again and a third time, the color of the skin there darkening even more, hot and shiny. Sid wraps his hand around the shaft, sliding rough and dry, the lace still tight under the head, cutting in where Jamie has been struggling. "Come for me," Sid murmurs. "Take what I'm giving you and come for me." A sob breaks from Jamie's throat, and his face is wrecked, tears streaking his flaming cheeks. "Oh, God," he gasps, and Sid grabs the lower skate lace in his free hand, pulls steady and vicious. Jamie keens and comes, a jittering splatter of jizz against his abs, his body too weak, too stressed to shoot very far. "Good," Sid praises, and Jamie's head tips forward, hanging limp. Sid lets go of his dick, gently lowers the boots so they don't suddenly tug. After the way Sid has been pulling, the weight must seem light. Jamie shivers, and Sid needs to get him loose soon, needs to bring him back up. "Please," Jamie whimpers, and Sid tips his head back up, makes Jamie look at him. "You did so well," Sid says, strokes the tears off his face. Jamie licks his broken lips and glances at Sid's crotch. Sid's erection has been secondary this whole time, something slow to wake and not incredibly important. Except that, to Jamie, it seems to be.
Can you mark me?"
Jamie asks, and he's got Sid's marks from cheeks to knees, but that's not what he means. He has to be hurting, has to be suffering in the endorphin crash, as the afterglow of his orgasm fades and all the aches and pains rise to the surface. And he's still asking, who's Sid to tell him no? Sid unzips his pants, pulls his rigid cock from his underwear.
"Please,"
Jamie begs, so pretty.
"Please, please."
Sid wipes his hand over Jamie's stomach, gathers his cum, and then wraps it around himself. It doesn't take much. A few strokes and his orgasm swells like a rising wave, bursts out with a force that surprises him. He stripes Jamie's face, his hand-printed cheeks, his swollen lips, down his chest and over his noosed dick. Jamie whines as Sid finishes, a sound at once satisfied and miserable.
"So good," Sid says again, and he can't resist rubbing his cum into Jamie's skin
to stroke his stretched-out dick with it, his swollen testicles. He'd have to see if he had Jamie for more than a night. How long Jamie would let him play with him after. How long he'd take the torment just to make Sid happy. Tonight is not the night, though. And Sid steps back and goes for the safety scissors. He takes care of the lace on Jamie's dick first, snipping the long strings and unwinding the loop. The one on his balls is trickier. The weight comes off easy, but Jamie's skin is swollen against the tie, and he hisses when Sid slides the rounded point of the scissors underneath it. The cord separates with an almost audible pop, and Jamie gasps. "Shh," Sid soothes him, and cups his balls gently, feeling for damage and not finding it.
I've got you. You were so good. I'll take care of you. He could untie the rope, but he's got plenty if he needs to seen again this tournament. The scissors cut through the knots, and Jamie wiggles first toes and then fingers, looking stunned and lost in the seat. Come on, Sid urges, helping him to stand. He just moves Jamie the few steps to the narrow bed, throwing back the covers with one hand while he makes sure Jamie is steady with the other. Jamie moves like a sleepwalker, lets Sid lay him down and tuck him in. Sid has a water bottle on the nightstand, and he opens it and watches Jamie drink, takes the bottle back when it's empty. Jamie is filthy still, his cum and Sid's all over his body, his face. It's a chancy call to make, but Sid thinks he'll like to wake up that way, dirty and used. Sid strokes Jamie's forehead twice, and Jamie's eyelids flutter closed. His trust is almost as beautiful as his suffering. Sid cleans himself up and takes the second bed. Tomorrow the games start, and Sid intends to win. The end.
Sorry, I'm so bad. Only took a minute for me to get what you had. Sorry for the bad news, no, it makes you sad. Yeah, for a minute, baby, you should pack your bags.
Without a look, should be breaking the law. If I don't got it, I take what I want. My circle small like a round of applause. You know that I love the sound of applause. You know I mean everything that I said. Would you see me come and get out of the way? Back in the sleigh, back in the sleigh. Back and I'm better and ready to stay.
I'm doing damage, been just how I planned it. I do what I want when I say. To live on the edge of insane.
Crazy. Sorry, not sorry for being the best. Under the jean, make up your mark. Look at the gold, all on my chest. Look at the gold, call it a flex.
If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave a comment for either myself or for the author, you are more than welcome to do so. If you'd like to leave a comment for me, the podficker, the place to do that is on the podfic post, which is probably wherever you found this podfic in the first place. If you'd like to leave a comment for the author, the place to do that is on the text post, which is linked from the podfic post. Thanks for listening.